Hello, and welcome to Color Me Healthy, a production of the Community Health Center of Buffalo. Color Me Healthy focuses on wellness for communities of color and how we can all develop a better quality of life. The views expressed by guests are their own, and their appearance on the program does not imply an endorsement of them or any entity they represent. Views and opinions expressed by Community Health Center employees are those of the employees and do not necessarily reflect the view of the Community Health Center or any of its officials. This program is meant to be used for general informational purposes only. While this program provides information on such topics as health and wellness, the subject matter discussed is not intended to be a substitute for seeking care and service from a health professional. In all instances, even where a guest is a licensed physician, listeners should not view the opinions and perspectives expressed on the program as medical advice. Listeners are also encouraged to pay attention to the credentials and professional qualifications of the program's guests. In instances where a guest is not a licensed medical professional, listeners should note that the guest is not legally authorized to practice medicine in any setting. Listeners are always encouraged to consult with their own personal health care professional.
Hello and welcome to Color Me Healthy. I'm your host, Carl Schallhorn. And today we have with us folks from the Osborne Association's Family Works Program. And they're going to be here to tell you about the wonderful work they've just started doing recently here at the Community Health Center and how it's benefiting our community. So we have with us Dior Lindsay and Rashawn Smalls. So welcome, folks.
Thank you for having us.
How you doing?
Wonderful. Pretty good.
Good, good. Well, thank you. Thank you for being here. So just to tell our audience a little bit about yourselves, why don't we start with you, Dior? What do you bring to us today?
Well, I could start with the fact that I am a licensed master of social work. I have a background in doing substance abuse counseling and also doing work in the community, doing education around trauma-informed care. So that's mostly where my experience in this comes into play for supporting children affected by incarceration, impacted by incarceration. So yeah, that's a little about my educational background and what I do.
Okay. How about you, Rashawn?
Well, I'm not a social worker in the technical sense that she is, but I do have a wealth of experience working with kids, probably nearly 15 years.
Okay.
Kids in different capacities. I do, however, have a bachelor's degree in behavioral science, as well as a master's degree in urban ministry, though I'm not a minister. So those are some of the things that I think I bring in terms of just my commitment to serving kids and my experience in that area.
So, Dior, why don't you tell us about the Osborne Association, which is your parent organization?
Yeah, sure. So Osborne has been around for almost 100 years now. So they've been doing a lot of work around providing support to communities. Really, all of it is New York City based. But really, anything that you can think of when it comes to working with individuals that are currently incarcerated, formerly incarcerated, children and families of the incarcerated, they do it. So hospitality centers, there are 16 of them in New York State that offers, you know, comfort and information to people that are visiting loved ones in correctional facilities. They have just a lot of different programs. The Children, Youth, and Family Services portion of Osborne does a lot of work. They do trips. There's one called Family Ties in which they fly all the kids down to see their mothers at Albion. And that's if they complete the Osborne parenting course. And they have it a couple of times a year. Mm-hmm. There are youth groups in New York City that have been going on for years now. And really anything that you can kind of think of, Osborne does.
Nice, nice. So Rashawn, specifically with the Family Works program, what's that like and what do you do with that?
So Family Works Program is an initiative of the Osborne Association's Youth and Family Services. So part of what we do is work specifically around the issue of parental incarceration. Nearly 1 in 28 children across this country has had a parent incarcerated. So it is clearly an important issue to focus on. And Osborne has focused on working with families, specifically kids, over the last 30 years who have been affected by parental incarceration. So that is our primary objective, that is our primary aim, is to focus on making sure that people across the city of Buffalo are aware of the issue, are in a position where they can be supportive and be protective factors in working with kids, whether or not they've been affected directly or whether or not they have friends who may be affected.
Mm-hmm. You know, when you talk about that number of 1 in 28, That's a very high number. So you figure, like you said, it's not just the individual, it's those around them. So we are all affected. Many, if not more than what people would typically think, are affected by this issue. And then you think about the children that are affected, which, of course, they are the ones who unfortunately have to deal with some of the, like you talked about, the traumas and things that go along with that separation. So how does FamilyWorks help with that? What does FamilyWorks do to assist with that separation?
Well, another thing that Osborne has done is they've partnered with Sesame Street to create a toolkit for kids that have parents that are incarcerated. So it's an entire toolkit. You can actually download the app, but there's also DVDs and storybooks that go along with it. And really being able to use that resource for younger kids, plus having the groups that Rashawn and I run on a weekly basis. On Mondays, we do a group at Edward Saunders Community Center. And on Wednesdays, we just started a group with some older kids as well. And on Thursdays, every other Thursday, actually, we're in one of the Buffalo Public Schools. We're at MST. So being able to offer that supportive space, a safe space for kids to be able to feel supported, to be able to talk about that, that's one of the unique things that we do, because to our knowledge, no one else is doing the work around the needs and experiences of children with incarcerated parents. In my mind, that's the work that we bring.
Well, that's great, because, you know, when you think about it, like any other peer-based experience, bringing these youth together that have the shared experience of having a parent who's incarcerated. And of course, like I said, that number may be 1 in 28. However, they may have friends who aren't in that circumstance. So when you bring them together, they're able to connect with each other. They're able to talk with each other and relate to each other, that experience, which of course their peers, some of their peers may not be able to relate to. So having that opportunity to talk and share and even cry can be very, very helpful and healing and therapeutic.
Mm-hmm. And interestingly enough, we think about protective factors. We believe that anyone and everyone can potentially be a protective factor for a kid. And oftentimes it is your peers, the people you spend most time with. Sometimes it is security guard at the school.
Right.
Sometimes it's your teacher. Sometimes it is the person who owns the bodega or the store, or the corner store. So, I mean, we are all, in fact, affected in some way or connected to the issue. In fact, a study recently came out that 1 in 2 adults has an immediate family member who has spent some time in prison. 1 in 2 adults, that is a staggering number.
It
but
is.
It also speaks to the connectivity of it, like how we are all connected to this issue. This is a personal issue for a lot of families in this country. And so we think about education and providing information and protective factors, those sort of things right there. It is important that everyone, regardless of whether or not you've been directly affected, you certainly are indirectly affected because you know someone who has been impacted by that.
And of course, you know, you talk about your background. You're in trauma-informed care. And of course, I've learned some about trauma myself and how it can affect a person, especially children. And there is the ACE study, the Adverse Childhood Experiences study. How does that relate to the program in terms of the work that you do and some of the interventions that are provided? So first of all, let's, you know, describe to our audience what the ACE study is, and then talk a little bit about how that relates to the work you do.
Yeah, so the ACE study, ACE stands for Adverse Childhood Experiences. The study was done by the CDC, in which certain experiences that happen in a person's life, specifically the lives of children, can affect the outcomes, specifically the health outcomes of an adult. So keeping that in mind, the buildup of toxic stress could likely lead to an earlier death or complications further down the line. So a lot of the ACEs, they call them, are related to, you know, abuse, neglect, certain traumatic experiences. But a parent that is incarcerated, a child that has a parent incarcerated, is considered an adverse childhood experience. And a study just came out that shows that is the third most common adverse childhood experience.
Are you serious? The third most common?
The third most.
Wow.
Second to also having a loved one that suffers from addiction in the home, substance use in the home.
Right.
And, you know, the interventions that come along with this is another service that we offer, which is video visiting.
Mm.
So the separation of a parent and a child is a traumatic experience. It can be a traumatic experience for children, especially in the way in which it happens. Because sometimes even if a child is present when the parent is arrested, you know, they can't fully comprehend what's happening to my parent right in front of me. Mm-hmm. Have there been, you know, services that have been, you know, scheduled around the child, any type of care or plans to be made? You know, there's so many different policies that are now being considered for child safe arrest to decrease the likelihood of any traumatic effects if children are present when an arrest is being made. But going back to the separation piece, one of our services that we offer now on the second floor of the Community Health Center is video visiting. So video visiting meaning it's kind of like Skype or FaceTime with your loved one, specifically a parent that's currently incarcerated. So up to four people can be in the video visiting room right here on the second floor of the Community Health Center in Buffalo. And the idea is to decrease the traumatic experiences that have surrounded the separation, to be able to somehow maintain that relationship. But video visiting is not meant to replace in-person visits. We always encourage to do it in person. But we're currently in eight different New York State correctional facilities, and it's at no cost. So there's no charge to be able to come here and visit with your loved ones in the eight facilities that we're in.
Have you had any? Have you had any yet? Have you done any?
No, our first one is Monday.
Really? Oh, that's exciting.
Yeah, but I just did an intake yesterday for a parent, and we're scheduling their visit sometime in February. So we have two families right now.
That's great. You know, and that's so wonderful because, you know, one of the primary barriers is transportation.
Indeed.
Yep.
You know, I mean, if you're talking about, you know, one of the institutions that's hundreds of miles away, I mean, you just can't hop on a bus or take a cab or even drive your car, for that matter, if it's that far away.
Yeah.
And this provides for an opportunity that creates that, for lack of a better term, venue or time that can be beneficial for both and all parties.
And the thing is, too, is that we're the newest program to do it. There are other locations. There's Harlem, Bronx, Brooklyn, and Newburgh. They've started as well, but mostly in New York City, the Bronx and Brooklyn sites, they've been doing this for a couple years now. But Harlem just opened up, Newburgh just opened up, and we just opened up. So being able to have different sites in terms of transportation can make it a little bit easier on families.
So with the program right now, you've got, you know, how are you promoting the program? How are you getting the word out to people so they know about this? What are some efforts in terms of marketing and so forth?
Most of it is pretty much been grassroots. We've traveled, spent a lot of mileage in our cars, just traveling across the city and reaching our hands across to shake hands with people. And just we've been to a number of community centers throughout the city. We've been to, you know, different schools. We've been to different, I mentioned community centers. But anywhere where kids are at, we've reached out and sought to build connections and relationships with people just so that people are aware of who we are as a program, as people. Because I think most importantly, people need to know who we are as people. You know, certainly we're professionals, but people, if they're going to work with you, they want to know who you are as people. And so we've been done a very consistent job of putting forth this idea that, hey, we want to meet people and connect with people. And so we've traveled across the city and just made connections with, you know, a number of different stakeholders that we believe are also equally committed to making sure that they are aware of the issues and as well. So
right now you're focusing on Buffalo. Is there any plan to go outside of Buffalo, say Niagara Falls, or I mean, obviously you have the video visiting here at the Buffalo site, but is there any plan on working outside of the area or trying to draw people in from a broader geographic region?
That's something we're definitely interested in. That's something that we hope to do. We just actually opened our office up in September, so we are a very new program. So we're taking it step by step. We would definitely love to be able to expand, but, you know, everything happens for a reason, and we're doing it in order.
Right, of course.
We'll see what happens.
Yeah. So, but the great thing is that right now you've got, you know, you've got the two families, and you're doing the outreach. So what are the immediate goals? Like, obviously, you know, actually, let me back up a second. So who funds you? How do you get funded for the program?
One of the things that we've been blessed with is Senator Kennedy. He's been instrumental in allowing for us to be established. We obviously partner with Department of Corrections as well, but we certainly have to be grateful for the efforts of Senator Kennedy in helping us get established here. So
that's great. And of course, you know, you think about it, for every dollar spent, think about the impact it makes. So granted, there's a dollar figure attached to what you do, but it, in many ways, is priceless. So when you think about the fact that you've got a child, a young adult even, or a family member for that matter, who has someone who is not close, that they can see them, they can talk to them, on a more regular basis, that pays for itself. Because I think, you know, and this is my understanding of it, that by having that connection, when the person returns, it'll help them to reacclimate maybe a little bit easier, you know, having not had such a strong separation. And I'm going to give a little plug for our Safe Home program, because here at the Community Health Center, we have Safe Home, which is coordinated by Baba Ng. And, you know, his program in many ways is almost hand in hand with yours, because once people do return, then they can enroll in Safe Home and take part in our circles or restorative justice circles. And that's another way of reintegrating and getting back to the community and getting back to those that you really care about and care about you. So in a way, it's almost like a flow. You could look at it that way. So, or a continuum of care. So the beautiful thing, like I said, is that you have someone who may be looking at, say, 4 or 5 years. You know, that's a reality. And however, if you can have them meet their loved one through the video visiting, and they can see their children grow up, they can have that relationship. And granted, we want to, like you said, we want to encourage the in-person visits, but at least you have that connection. And I can't even begin to imagine how valuable that is.
So it certainly promotes the connection, promotes well-being for the children. I think that we have every reason to believe that. Also, it promotes the well-being of the individual who is incarcerated, because most people who are incarcerated come home, and a significant amount of men incarcerated, nearly 50-60%, have children, and a significant amount of women incarcerated have children. So they come home, and they come home to families, they come home to communities. And imagine not having had an opportunity to interact with your child.
Right.
So you come home, and certainly your child may have been 2, now they're 5 or 6 or 7. So there's a big developmental gap there. You know, so how do you bridge that gap? And I think it would be certainly more difficult if you haven't had an opportunity to interact with that child. So, you know, just having the opportunity to do so, whether via video visiting or also actual visiting, you know, physical visiting, certainly promotes the well-being of the family.
Right.
So that it makes the transition a little bit easier, not totally, you know, without its challenges, but it certainly makes it easier for families to reconnect. So that's part of the focus as well. Part of our vision is to promote well-being by allowing for families, children, and parents who may be incarcerated to develop relationships in spite of the distance or the challenges of being separated.
Real quick, just to remind our listeners, we are here with Dior Lindsay and Rashawn Smalls from the Family Works Program, which is operated through the Osborne Association. I want to ask another question also, because you kind of broached on this a little bit there, Rashawn, about, so are there any women's facilities that you're working with?
Indeed, we are. And I'll pass that to Dior.
Oh, sure. We are in Albion. That's really where, the Family Ties program
right.
is, where they take the trip a couple times a year and bring in kids. But also, that's one of the beginning places of when video visiting started.
Right,
Albion
right.
was on board. And hopefully we're getting into Bedford and Taconic as well. So those are that's our hope. So that we'd be in all of the Women's New York State facilities mm-hmm. to be accessed at the Community Health Center in Buffalo by video visiting.
Now this is just a side question, but do you take road trips to these institutions yourselves?
I
because obviously you have to connect with the people there, you have to talk to them and promote what you're doing mm-hmm. and pitch it, so to speak. So you've been visiting these folks?
Yeah, I've been to Albion at least 3 times since we've opened our office. I plan on going again in April. Been to Gowanda at least 2x, and I'm going next week. Been to Collins, and yeah, I'm definitely going to a lot of places. Like Rashawn said, we're definitely putting our mileage in because we travel a lot.
Yeah. Well, but I mean, you know, you think about it, you have to have that connection because you have to see where the program is on the other side and how things are operated. But also, I think it helps with having that personal connection with the administration at these institutions so that, you know, they know who you are and they know, I mean, of course, you tell them about the operation and that, of course, it's legitimate and everything, but having that person-to-person contact's valuable.
Yeah, actually, Dahlia, she's the lead video visiting coordinator for all of the sites, and she has been just the quintessential piece for us all, staying connected for all of the sites, and especially us in Buffalo as a newer site. So shout out to Dahlia, because she does a lot of work, and she's been there developing the program since the beginning, so...
So you started this in September,
mm-hmm.
so it's really only been 4 months, maybe going on 5 months.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess you could say you're in your infancy.
Indeed. Yes. Perfect analogy.
Yeah, right. What do you see? So I know I'm a big one on goal setting. So have you set goals for the program, like milestones or things that you want to accomplish in so much time or whatever? How are you gauging things?
Well, Dior mentioned one of our primary services is training. We work around the issue of ensuring that every agency in the city, every community center, every public school, every health center, wherever there are children, we want to be. We want to find a way to make sure that people are aware of this issue. So we work with training agencies who come in contact with children about the needs and experience of children who have incarcerated parents. So that is one way in which we could, I guess, duplicate ourselves in places. So that is a major focus of ours, is to make sure that we are reaching out to agencies and that we are having these trainings and these discussions about the needs and experiences of children of incarcerated parents. So that is a major goal for us, just to make sure that we are continuously involved in training and making people aware of this, especially professionals, but also just parents in general, because mm-hmm. people oftentimes don't know how to talk about the issue because of the layer of shame involved with incarceration, the layer of, you know, just discomfort and, you know, because of the shame and the stigma associated
right.
with
right.
it. So that's a major focus in our trainings, mm-hmm. helping people understand that there are levels of shame and stigma that come or are associated. We not only stigmatize the men and women who may be incarcerated, but we also stigmatize the children. Mm-hmm. You know, children and adults may be better prepared to talk about it, but imagine a child who's 4 or 5 who doesn't have the language or that capacity to articulate how he or she feels. Mm-hmm. So we want to make sure, you know, in relationship to the training, that parents and teachers and educators, social workers, are aware of how to connect with and be a protective or supportive factor. And that's what the focus of the training is. So that's a major goal of ours.
Mm-hmm. That's great. What other goals do you see or do you have for the program? Aside from, well, you have the family visiting, but how do you see things rolling out from there?
Man, I mean, the sky's the limit, but I also want to be realistic because, you know, our office is just the two of us. So, but we do a lot, as you can tell, and we've done so much since we've opened up in September. Mm-hmm. I think that one of our main goals is to not only train, but also to be able to, you know, as we give out these resources to families and parents, but hopefully really getting more of our resources in parent centers within the Buffalo Public Schools. And also, as we're in schools, really making sure that when we're putting in our work, that teachers are able to effectively navigate if a child may be having a difficult time. I think our goals really relate to, as we continue to, you know, put ourselves in schools and community centers, that it becomes more normalized, mm-hmm, mm-hmm, to be able to have these conversations is really what I'm trying to get at. And I think that so far we've been able to put ourselves in a lot of different places to be able to start that conversation. Mm-hmm. One of the schools that's pretty great is Enterprise Charter School.
Okay.
They actually had a group called Children of Promise, and that was all children that had a parent currently or formerly incarcerated.
Wow.
And we got a chance to go in there in June, and it was amazing to see the progress that they've made only just having, you know, once a month groups.
That's great.
To be able to normalize, this is something that I've been through, but it's okay for me to go through this. It's okay to feel the feelings that I feel, and it's okay for me to share that in this safe space that has been created. So hopefully that's something else that we're able to do too and continue that as Family Works Buffalo. So, I mean, I think, you know, us being able to normalize this a little bit and normalizing the experiences that children have is a pretty a far-fetched goal, mm-hmm, but
I wouldn't say far-fetched.
No.
Doesn't sound far-fetched to me.
No.
I mean, because, you know, you think of, well, let's look at it this way. So you said 1 in 28.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And so you break that down and you have, I don't know how that relates to how many youth are affected. But if you get your message out and you do it in such a way that makes it understandable on that developmental level, which I know you do, you wouldn't talk to a 6-year-old the same way you talk to a 16-year-old.
Correct. Mm-hmm.
But if you're able to, mind you, of course, you're only two people. But the goal is down the road. I mean, if the program really takes off, you know, there's opportunities for growth, right? So you know, if things transpire as the way they could, you could expand, you could reach more people, you could reach more students, you could reach more youth. And that's how, you know, that's the means of normalizing and getting, mm-hmm, the message out. You know, there's all kinds of things and opportunities that,
that's true,
that really, who's to say? You're just planting the seeds now.
Indeed.
And
right.
wait till they germinate. Wait till they start to blossom and grow.
Right.
And of course, both of you obviously have a lot of energy to put into it.
Mm-hmm.
So that makes a big difference too. So is there anyone, anything else you want to comment on, before we wrap up for today?
You know, one thing that I wanted to do is thank, Dr. Ansari and Carla for welcoming us so warmly since we started in May, really, you know, developing things, hooking up the printers to the Wi-Fi and really, you know,
the
bare bones of things.
Right?
Yeah, literally starting from the bottom.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's been a wonderful opportunity just to be here. It seems sort of poetic for us to be here because this is a public safety issue as well.
Right.
I mean, a public health issue, I should say. But being here has been wonderful because, I mean, everyone has been so gracious in accepting us and seeing the value of the services that we offer. So definitely shout out to Dr. Ansari, Carl, and yourself too, Carl. Mm-hmm. You know, the entire staff who has, you know, allowed for us to mm-hmm. operate and feel a part of what the Community Health Center is about. So we are excited about that mm-hmm. and really look forward to having a longstanding relationship and being a part of, you know, this piece about promoting well-being across not only Buffalo, but across Western New York.
And of course, as many of our listeners know, and as our center is about helping the community, helping people from wherever they're from.
Mm-hmm.
And Dr. Ansari's mission is that, to benefit the community. So her belief in your program is to say that it's going to help people. And of course, with that comes responsibility. But then again, that's, you know, that's what you've taken on, and that's what you've done so far, and that's where it's going.
Yeah.
And from all accounts, it sounds like it's going well. I mean, you've got, you know, you said you have two families now.
Just wait.
Yeah. It's gonna blow up. It's gonna blow up. They're gonna be, you know, really knocking down the doors. Seriously.
I'm
you
excited.
Know, I mean, and I don't want to say it's a good problem to have.
It is.
Once it grows, I mean, because you want people to do this. You want people to get involved. So I want to thank both of you for sharing your time with us, for telling our audience about this great program that you have. I think it has a lot of promise. I think that, you know, in fact, I know it has a lot of promise. I believe that the work that you're going to do is going to make a difference. So for every family that comes in, for every child that has an opportunity to talk to their parent, think about what that's going to do
mm-hmm. yeah.
for that child. Think about what that's going to do for reinforcing that relationship mm-hmm. and easing the transition when the parent comes home.
It's powerful.
Very powerful. So we thank you for that. And we thank you for the time and the commitment and the hours that you put in for your work, and wish you the best and all that you do. So,
thank you.
And looking forward to good things. In fact, we may have you back in a little while to talk and give us a little progress report. How's that sound?
Sounds great.
Welcome.
Yeah.
Look forward to it.
Well, very good. So we want to thank our listeners once again for listening to Color Me Healthy. I'm your host, Carl Schallhorn. You can follow us on the Podbean platform and also on social media on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Instagram. Make sure you also visit our website at chcb.net to find out about all our other services we offer here at the Community Health Center of Buffalo. We want to thank you for listening. Be well.